I speak your word. Help us to speak and to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we talked a little bit about your desire to be told how wonderful Jesus is. And of course, it's not really that you want to know how wonderful Jesus is. That's not your real concern. For two reasons, you already know that he is. But if you can preoccupy me in telling you how wonderful Jesus is, I won't have time to tell you how wonderful you are not. So this show of love for Jesus and desire to know about Jesus is nothing more than a thinly veiled attempt not to hear about yourself. In a way, I'm going to accede to that wish this morning, because this morning we're going to be talking about Pharaoh and how you deal with Pharaoh and how Pharaoh deals with you. But more importantly, how Pharaoh deals with God, with the truth. Now, if you see yourself in the way Pharaoh deals with the truth, and you happen to be dealing, if Pharaoh, the way he deals with Moses, even remotely resembles the way you and I get along, then you must understand two things. Number one, I must be dealing with you in the same way that Moses dealt with Pharaoh, and you must be dealing with Moses, and you must be dealing with me in the same way Pharaoh dealt with Moses. If none of this fits you, please, let's pray for God that he gets a better memory, and that he tries to understand who's here, and he quit preaching to people that aren't here. And maybe by this evening he'll wake up and we'll have a message that does apply to you. I want you to know something right from the beginning. Dealing with Pharaoh is a life and death struggle. You can't exist with Pharaoh. You either live or die. Now, Pharaoh didn't make it in this story, and he's not going to make it in yours. Now, the only way Pharaoh could have survived was to kill Moses. In fact, at the end, he says, you're never going to see my face again. The next time you see me, you'll die. And he says, you're right. We're never going to go face to face again. Because Pharaoh was right. Somebody had to die. You think somehow that Jesus having already died and you accepting that means that Pharaoh gets to live too. Well, you see, if you try to negotiate with Pharaoh, it means someone has to die. When you deal with the Lord Jesus Christ, someone already has died. See, so with Jesus, it's already a settled issue. Somebody had to die and it's already done. With Pharaoh, it's not settled yet. Somebody has to die. And the only way he can survive is to kill you. Now, if the only way he can survive is to kill you, then the only way you can survive is to return the favor. So it really depends on who's quicker on the draw. Live or die, you cannot just exist with Pharaoh. Now, so that you can understand how this person operates, and whether in fact he's in control of your life, we need to understand how he operates. Exodus 7, 1 and 2. We're going to do a lot of reading this morning, at least at the 10 o'clock hour, and then we'll do the dividing at 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of the land. So the relationship between Moses and Pharaoh is God said, I have made you a god to Pharaoh, and I've given you a prophet, your brother Aaron. So to deal with Pharaoh, since you've chosen for me to deal with Pharaoh, I need two things. I need God and a prophet, a brother. So you see, me as a god to your Pharaoh, a god, not God, but a god, representing Moses, then I need a brother who agrees with me. See, because God said to Moses, you say all that I say, and then you tell Aaron to say to Pharaoh all that I say. So I say what God said, but I can't find a brother that'll speak to Pharaoh. Your job is to be my brother. My job is to speak to you, and your job is to speak to Pharaoh. See, you wimp out all the time, and you want me to do both. Exodus 7:4. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you. He says, Pharaoh will not hearken unto Moses, but he will hearken unto Aaron, but only after somebody dies. See, understand this. Once you choose to say, Pharaoh's too strong, my habit's too strong, God won't work, then somebody has to die after that. Regardless of the fact that Jesus already did. So God is already telling you, Pharaoh's not going to listen to you. Your habits are not going to listen to you. Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. He said, he's not going to listen to you. He's going to have to come out with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. In other words, Pharaoh will not obey. So now we start dealing with Pharaoh. Verse 9 of chapter 7. When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. See, Pharaoh always says, show a miracle. How do I know God sent you? So you're the preacher. So what? How do I know what you're telling me is true? Show me a miracle. Well, we've gone through that a lot of times, haven't we? So in verse 9, he says, show me a miracle to prove that God sent you. Well, the first miracle is that I came to you in the first place, because who the hell else does? No one ever comes to you to give you anything. Anybody ever comes to you comes to take. Now here comes someone to give you something that does me no good, it only does you good, and it's free on top of that. That ought to be miracle enough for you right there. Because we know certainly no one else has ever treated you that way. Everybody else came to get something from you. Verse 11. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. In other words, he said, well, if you think you're from God, well, then I can do some miracles too. I can quote scripture too. I can do this and I can do that. See, they try to put themselves in the same category as the man sent of God. Sound familiar yet? Well, you go try and divide it yourself and say, no, they can't be right. There must be something more to it. So Pharaoh tries to duplicate. And the thing that he offers you, see, I tell you, I'm happy with the Lord. And Pharaoh says, well, you can be just as happy with money. Make more money. So Reuben's happy. So, see, I have the Lord and money. I'm peaceful and content with the Lord. Pharaoh will tell you, be peaceful and content with drugs, alcohol, or food. Nicotine will make you happy. It'll give you some peace and contentment. So will caffeine. And incidentally, so will anger. People will do what you want if you just cuss enough and get angry enough. Depression also will make you peaceful and content. And so will gossip, by the way. See, Pharaoh always tries to give you a duplicate. But listen, it always works, but it's always temporary. And it's always terminal. See, everything that Satan, that Pharaoh gives you works temporarily, but it has one thing in mind, to kill you. Because see, if we get to the end, you're going to kill him. See, Pharaoh's smarter than you are. So he tries to give you all the things that kill you. Now, if he can kill you before we get to the death of the firstborn, then he survives and you die. If we can get to that, or you change your mind before that, then he dies. So you see, everything Pharaoh gives you does work temporarily. It's TNT. Temporary and terminal. You don't like the last Mr. T there, do you there? TT? Remember, it's TT, temporary and terminal. You get so hung up on the temporary aspects of it that you don't see it's terminal. It's killing you. Your hair falls out, your teeth falls out, and other things you ain't done with start falling out. And you think you're surviving. You are gradually dying. You're committing suicide. Again, you can't blow your brains out. That would be fast, but too hard. You need to be a crack shot to do that, because the target is so infinitely small. Just can't find it. Now, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. See, Satan always refuses. Verse 17. Then saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in thine hand, and upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. Water turned to blood. Misuse. See, water is good in your kidneys, and blood is good in your veins, but blood in your kidneys will kill you. Blood in your kidneys will kill you, and water in your veins will kill you. But water is good, and so is blood. But you misuse. You take a good thing like corn and turn it into alcohol. That's a good thing. And alcohol is a good thing in the tank of your car or to dress a wound. It's no good inside of you and in your brain. So you see, you're turning water into blood, a good thing into misuse. You haven't turned a good thing into a bad thing. You've just misused a good thing and therefore caused it to do something bad. Water to alcohol, flowers to drugs. You're supposed to smell the flowers, not snort them. See, flowers are to look at. And food for drugs, by the way. Misuse. Oh, I don't like this diet. There's no variety. I thought food was for nutrition, heat, and energy. Not for some lustful high that you have, some relationship that you have with your food, that your meals become X-rated. Where you get your jollies out of your food. Well, I don't like this. You're not supposed, doesn't matter whether you like it. I love that, and I love, you remind me of the guy in Las Vegas. Remember the guy that was in love with his chicken legs? See, your car will run just as good on gas from this pump or that pump, assuming that it has the nutrition in it that your car needs. Your car doesn't need chocolate-covered gas one day and fried gas the next day. Gas is gas. Fuel is fuel. But you see, the problem with you is you want to misuse. You're even misusing what's good. We have a good diet now. And you want to misuse that. You want it to make you feel good. You want it to do something to you emotionally, and food was designed to do something for you physically. Blindfold yourself and just eat it and shut up. Your stomach doesn't know and doesn't care. You want to misuse. Water turned to blood. Misuse. Well, verse 22, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. So you see, people try to say, well, okay, then I'll try to find a way. See, it amazes me, some of you people. I tell you, train yourself not to want sugar. It's a killer. So what do? You try to find some substitute that's not quite that bad. But still lets your body win out and say, well, I got my dessert. It'll kill you slower, but it'll still kill you. So you try to duplicate. God said, don't do it. And God said, well, and you said, well, we'll do it, but a lot less of it. We'll have this that's different. And it's lower in fat, lower in cholesterol, lower in poison, but it still has poison. See, your mentality is this. Or there's a rattlesnake with two fangs. Stay away. But there's one with only one fang. Getting the point? You always try to duplicate. You always try to duplicate. Always. And you try to substitute something that'll give you the same kick. Wouldn't it be smarter just to train yourself to say, God knows what he's doing, and I'm supposed to stay away from that, and therefore, thank you, Lord, for the information. No more of that trash in my life. But you try to find a way to counterfeit. And sometimes you even succeed in finding some kind of a concoction that gives you the same thrill that isn't bad for you physically, but emotionally and spiritually. What have you said to God? I know better than you do. I'll accept this food for my physical body, but my mind still wants to be pleased and to get high on food, so I'll find a substitute, anything, so that I don't have to depend on you for spiritual and emotional uplift. Give me a shot of this or a shot of that. It makes me feel better. Well, see, what you're doing is you're taking Pharaoh's duplicate. And even though it may not be hurting you physically, it is still hurting you spiritually, because you're still depending on something other than Christ for peace and contentment. And what's going to happen anyway in verse 23, and Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to do this also. So you see, Pharaoh's still not going to leave as long as you make compromises and try to find some way to do less of that, or to do something that really doesn't hurt you physically, but you still need it emotionally and spiritually. Pharaoh turned his back on that too. So now God starts to get serious here. Exodus 8:2. In fact, I'll read verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, going to Pharaoh and saying to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. And if they refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. Problems, problems, problems. Well, how does Pharaoh solve that the way you do? By duplicating the problems. Verse 7. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Like, you don't have enough frogs of your own making. And I can always tell people who are being frogged to death, you have wild frogs up to your armpits. And you come and talk to me, and what is your big problem? What he's doing, and what she's doing, and what they're doing. They're frogs. So you see, you already have your own. That's not enough, though. You got to go moan and groan and complain about somebody else's problem. They did this, they didn't do that. So what have you done? Doubled your frogs. You are not too bright. Now, is Pharaoh in control or is Jesus Christ? See, you know what your life is like. You know what's going on in your life. You have, in fact, since I said to your armpits, the frogs are now to your eyeballs. And what do? Coming to me with frogs up to your eyeballs. You come and claim and say, I have more frogs than this. Well, where are they at? Well, see, he brought me some, and that over there, they're frogs, they're mine too. So what have you done? You've doubled your frogs. Now, the minute your frogs are doubled, an interesting thing happens. Verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Well, what's happened here? Pharaoh gets religious. Pharaoh starts having a change of heart, it would appear. Pharaoh, in effect, says, I want to quit. Just like you. Man, these problems. My life is a mess. My children's frogs are all over me. My husband's frogs are killing me. My boss's frogs are killing me. Man, I'm just double my... I can't stand this anymore. I want to quit. I've got to quit. I'm going to. Well, then we have a question. Verse 9. And Moses said to Pharaoh, glory to me. I shall entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in their rivers only. When do you want me to do that? When do you want to quit? When do you want this to happen? Verse 10, and he said, tomorrow. See, this is what you always do. You see, you get religious on me after you've doubled your frogs, and I say, all right, when? Tomorrow is always a day away. But you're, again, you're not thinking right, because Pharaoh does your thinking for you. And you are the individual. I say, well, in that church, you can't do your own thinking. That's right. That's right. Because either Jesus is going to think for you or Pharaoh is stupid, because you can't, neither can I. So you're right. Somebody has to do your thinking. It's always been that way, and it always will be that way. So now Pharaoh, like all of you, procrastinates, says, tomorrow. Well, why? What happens? See, because tomorrow comes and God does what he says he's going to do. Verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, there was relief, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Relief always brings a change of mind of Pharaoh. Oh, Brother Reuben, just help me this one time. Well, I'm up against it, and boy, I'll see you next week, and I'll do it. Okay, I'll help you, brother, sister. As soon as the relief is there, where are you? Gone. Like the roadrunner. Beep, beep. Sometimes only a beep. Sometimes I don't even get the courtesy of one beep. You're just gone. Well, why? Because relief always brings a change of mind. See, you just wanted me to change your diaper, and I want you to start going to potty. But you're just looking for a little relief. But you see, relief always brings a change of mind. Your habit will not leave you as long as you give it relief. And therefore, I have determined in my heart and mind, I am not going to give relief to those that don't want to change their habits. I've tried your way. I've tried Pharaoh's way, and I see what I was doing. I was helping to kill you. No more relief for your habits, because you just changed your mind. 16, verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. So now we've got lice, addiction, something that sticks to you. Lice are hard to get rid of, aren't they? Man, once they get on you, man, they spread like wildfire, and they don't leave of their own. Sounds like your habits, like your addiction. Verse 19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Why? Because now Pharaoh's servants, magicians, couldn't do anything about this. They couldn't duplicate. See, we're finally getting to the point where you can't, and Pharaoh cannot duplicate anything anymore. We're getting in the godly area now. So now we have verse 19. Pharaoh refuses again. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. You see how stubborn this dude is? Does it sound like anybody you know? So now we go to verse 21. In fact, I'll read 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, upon thy houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms, and also the ground whereon there are. Intermingle. Come to church, you don't come to church. You forgive, you don't forgive. You forgive you and don't forgive somebody else. But you're getting closer. You finally got forgiveness and grace firmly implanted in your mind. But it's all for you. So now you start to intermingle the truth. I tell you something for you, and you give it to your wife. I tell your wife something for her, and she gives it to you. No one's taking their medicine. They're swarming. Verse 23. God says, now I'm going to tell you, so I'm going to show you, so that everybody could know who's serving me and who's serving Pharaoh. You can hallelujah till you're purple. You can praise the Lord till you're green. Verse 23 will expose you. I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. See, Pharaoh says, God says, look, division means a distinction. You're going to see here is a group of sinners who confess their sin, who are blessed. Here is a group of sinners who refuse to acknowledge their sin and confess, and they're not blessed. Two sinners though. One's not better than the other, but there's a division, a distinction between the two. They both praise the Lord, they both amen, they both go to church, but there's a distinction. One is blessed and one is not. The one that serves the Lord is blessed, the one that serves Pharaoh is not blessed. The one who confesses their sin is blessed. The one who does not is not blessed. But they're both sinners. See, so understand this. We're not any better in terms of actual actions. It's all spiritual. So there's a division between God's people and Pharaoh's to tell you that you are not serving God if you don't have your needs met, because God pays those that work for him. God's not a deadbeat. You cannot work for God and have him not pay you. I'll tell you who you are working for, and he is paying you. He pays off in poverty and disease and sickness and loneliness because you're serving Pharaoh. There's a distinction between God's people. I shouldn't even put it that way. There's a distinction between God's people who are serving Pharaoh and God's people who are serving God. So now you're starting to get smart here. You're saying, wait a minute, how come sister such and such and I don't? Brother such and such and I don't? So Pharaoh starts to get slick and diabolical. Verse 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. See, Pharaoh tries to compromise. He tries to change the word of God. He says, go ahead and sacrifice. Just stay here and do it. Don't change. Stay right here. But God said, I want you to leave. So see, Pharaoh's telling you, go to church. Do the right things on Sunday and Wednesday, but don't leave the land, man. Stay the same way you are. Let's compromise with God. God knows you're trying. God knows you're getting better. God knows. Yes, God knows. You try to compromise. And Moses said, it's not right. In verse 26, to do so. So you see, the first thing that Pharaoh tries to do is do a little compromise. Change the word of God a little bit. Well, yes, Brother Reuben, I know you're right, and I agree, and I'm going to do it someday. Well, Jesus said, today is the day. So you see, you try to compromise. I don't understand. I haven't got it yet. Some other time, tomorrow, I know it's there, but I'm trying. It's garbage. Hogwash. So now we go to verse 28. Pharaoh tries another compromise, just like you do. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to your Lord, your God, in the wilderness. Everything that you said, I agree. Only you shall not go very far away. It's less of a compromise, but it's still a compromise, isn't it? And God still says, uh-uh. See, he said, go ahead. Go. Sacrifice to your God. See what a nice guy. Just don't get very far away. See, that way in about 2 or 3 days, you'll smoke again. You'll get angry again. You'll do it again. Just don't go too far. Go ahead and go to church. You got to listen to that guy. Go ahead. You got to sack. Go ahead. You got tithe. Go ahead. Don't go very far. Get a little bit angry. Get a little bit upset. A little bit lonely. A little of this. A little of that. Don't go very far. First he said, stay here altogether. And some of you dummies stay. And then we go on, and the rest is, well, okay, but don't go very far. And then some of you, the ones that didn't stay, then some of you say, well, okay, well, I'm going, but not very far. See, and the only ones that succeeded are the ones that made it all the way to rest. So Pharaoh tries his compromise in verse 20 and says, don't go very far. Now verse 32. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. So you see, you go to church, you tithe, you read your Bible, but you don't go very far, because when you go to work, when you get home, you still act basically the same. So what happens when you say, Pharaoh, get out of here? He says, you're joking. You still have no control over your wrong habits. Why? Because Pharaoh refuses again. Changes his mind again. He's a liar. Does that sound familiar to you at all? Now, Exodus 9:4. Oh, I like this. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel's. Your cattle are going to die. Pharaoh is going to be instrumental in your cattle dying, but the children of Israel's cattle do not die. And you say, thank God, I got no cattle. You don't even know what cattle means. It comes from the word chattel. And if you know anything about the financial world and banking, which I do, I'm eminently qualified. You look, when you sign a note that says your furniture, your personal belongings are security or mortgage for that loan, at the top of that document you will find the words chattel mortgage. So what are your cattle? What is your chattel? All your personal belongings. Like your cars and your furniture and your TV sets and your this and your that. Well, they're dying, aren't they? And the ones that aren't dead are sick. That's your car trying to start in the morning. And then finally start, and I hear you going out of the parking lot. I know, oh, there's a sickie if I ever, and then as it gets starting, boom. Your chattels ain't dead or sick and dying. See, there's something wrong, and I'm not saying the stuff doesn't break. There's a physical law that we cannot violate. All I'm saying is when something of mine gives in, the minute it gives in, I always have enough to purchase whatever it takes to replace it. But see, when something of yours dies and you got nothing to replace it with, something's wrong. Amen. Deadly wrong. So your chattel is dying. And you see, I do not allow my chattel to die until they produce another one. You get romantic now and produce me another one before you go. And the one that I get is always newer and nicer, isn't it? Because, see, my others had to reproduce. But yours die. Hacking and coughing and spitting and moaning, and just like you. Your chattel dies just like theirs did. And still you do not understand what's happening in your life. Verse 7. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. You see, Pharaoh gets madder when he sees that God blesses the people who listen to him, and he can't. A good example was this thing we have this week. Some of you got mad because all of us didn't get tickets. Now, yours didn't cost any more or less just because I didn't get one. Somehow or other, you would have felt better if I'd have got one too. Forget it. But Pharaoh said, behold, not one of their cattle is dead. Now, you would think, say, oh, this must be God. He said, oh, no, I'm not going to do it anyway. I'm mad, just like you do. Again, do you even see anyone that remotely resembles you in this? Are we drawing the picture at all that we might put your name under? I'm trying to be one of these individuals at the police department in which we take all of the characteristics and I draw a picture, put all those characteristics, and lo and behold, it looks like you. You must be the criminal, the suspect, the perpetrator of the crime that we're seeking. But you would think at this point that Pharaoh, and this is the individual, you're trying to somehow change your way. Look what Pharaoh does in spite of all this. He refuses again in verse 7. Hardened his heart and did not let the people go. See who you're dealing with? And you see why God is determined he's going to get you released. And if you stay with this creep long enough, death is the only thing that's going to do it. Exodus 9, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Or Exodus 9, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take in your hands handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it towards the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Boils and blains. Verse 10. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward the heavens, or the heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth blains upon man and upon beast. Verse 11. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. So everybody has boils now. It's becoming physical now, isn't it? Well, what does boils mean? From the Hebrew, it means to burn. It means inflammation. It means to burn, to have inflammation, and to ulcer. Now, let me show you how this blain or this boil finally starts manifesting in you. It becomes a boil. Now, boil means, number one, to burn. Anger and resentment causes you to burn. Where do you burn? In the soul. I hate him. I hate this. This isn't right. That isn't right. This is like you're God. You don't even know what's right and wrong in your life. You're trying to tell me what's right and wrong with everybody else. So you start burning. But the burning happens in your mind. The anger, the resentment is in your mind. Well, it causes inflammation. You know what inflammation means? Emotion and hurt feelings. Well, there's your spirit. You start walking around looking like droopy. And then the third definition is ulcer, which is the physical illness. So what happens? What does boil mean? Your soul is sick. Your spirit is sick, and now your body's sick. Burn, inflammation, and ulcer. They come sequentially. You cannot have an ulcer unless you have inflammation. You can't have inflammation unless you're burning. So you see, you cannot get sick unless you involve your mind. You have to think sick first. Once you think sick, then you have to feel sick. Then you get sick. And what's the first thing people say? Well, you know, I don't know. I've been sick for a long time. And boy, this is happening. And I haven't slept. They're thinking sick already. I can't do this. I can't work. I can't accomplish that. See, sick means something's not working right. Can't do it. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do this. God gave you a job to do and you can't do it. You're sick. Thinking sick. Then you start having inflammation, emotion, hurt feelings. Well, I know I've done this before and they're going to be mad at me and I don't know how to do this. So you get emotional. Now you have hurt feelings, inflammation. And the body's saying, oh, no. The soul is sick. Now the spirit is sick. And then when the body finally gets the ulcer, the physical illness, then you run to the physical doctor for drugs. And you wouldn't talk to the God's doctor when he said, hey, let's make your soul think right, droopy, so that you don't get these emotional hurt feelings and you don't ulcerate. But you would think that the boils, at that point, your Pharaoh would say, all right, I give up. No, that's Pharaoh's plan. He wants to kill you. Because if he kills you, he lives. So in verse 12, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Pharaoh refuses again. So it's time for another method. I'm not going to call it a plague because it isn't. Verse 18. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Hail. Hail, the gang's all here. Hail means hail stones or stones. So what happens? What are the hail stones? Millstones, stumbling stones, hailstones, and tombstones. You've been stoned to death. Why do you think when people want to go out in the world and say, let's go out and let's get... You even asked for it. Well, I don't know what happened here. You asked to be stoned, stupid. Remember the other one, corrupt? Yeah, let's get stoned and let's get wasted. Let's get millstones, stumbling stones, hailstones, tombstones, and let's get corrupted. That's the proper English. That is what an eminently educated and qualified individual such as myself would utter had I had a desire to go out there. But how many people do you know would sit down and say, if they were speaking English, rational thinking people say, I think I will go out and get me some good dung so that I can turn it into millstones, stumbling stones, hailstones, and tombstones, and therefore make my body, my life, and my family corrupted and wasted. No one would do that, and Satan's smart enough to know that. So he changes the words so that you can affect say the same thing without realizing you're saying the same thing. Now, when you talk to me, you say, he's so picky. You can't get a word right, because I know you're killing yourself. I know what you're saying, and you don't. You don't know how to talk yet. So now we have hail all over the joint. Send, verse 19, send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. For all those that don't want to come to church, don't want the protection of church and counseling, they're out in the field on their own. When the hail comes, they die. See, it's hail everywhere. But those of us that were under the protection, those of them that were under the protection, it didn't. It said, bring all your stuff into the house. Bring all your possessions. What house? The house of God, obviously. Verse 20, he that feareth the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. So see, even some of the servants of Pharaoh feared the word. And he said, all those that fear the word, bring, come on in. Come on into the house. It's going to hail. Verse 21, and he that regarded not the word of the Lord led his servants and his cattle in the field. Those of you that don't believe me, you stay out in the field and it hails on all your chattel. Because you come to church when the mood strikes you. This is protection, man. You can't live without this. This is where, when it's time to hail, and God, thank God, Lord, thank you. You know, it only hails on Sundays and Wednesdays. Only time it can hail, that's the law. So you know where I'm going to be when it's hailing? Inside. Why do you think you have so many knots on your head? Because you don't have an... Listen, you would be an intellectual genius if you had the sense to come in out of the rain. But you see, someone who will stand out there and be beaten to death by hailstones and will not come in out of the hail has got some problems, serious problems. So what happens here? Now there's hail all over the place. Now we go to verse 30. We have another change of heart. It would appear. Moses, your soul, your mind, I'm going to prove to you in a minute, that Moses represents your soul. But see, Moses, in verse 30, but as for thee and thy servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. There comes a time when you come to church, you make a decision, and you already know you're lying. Even as you're saying, oh boy, you already know in the back of your mind, you already know you're lying. And a part of you says, you're lying. I know you're not going to do that, even though a part of you is saying that. Look how close you're getting to death. See, there's no hail. Verse 30, there was no hail. Or Moses says, you're lying. But I got a little ahead of myself. Let's go back to verse 26. Only in the land of Goshen were the children of Israel was there no hail. Now, where is this house that I told you got to get into? It's in the land of Goshen. And remember what Goshen meant? It meant the residence of the children of Israel. It's where the children of Israel. If the children of Israel live there, then Israel lives there. See, children always live with their father, except in this screwed up world. And what does Israel mean? He will rule as God. He will have power as a prince. I'm a prince. Prince of a fellow. Yes, I know you all agree with that. And it means to prevail. So those that think that way, no hail. Now, verse 27. You get religious on me again, Pharaoh. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. This time. The Lord is righteous. The Lord is wonderful. Does this sound? Let's talk about how wonderful the Lord is. I have sinned this time. What was the rest of it, fool? That's another sermon. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. He got religious on us again. Oh, yes, Brother Reuben. I now realize I'm wrong. And the Lord is right. And I'm wicked. Verse 30, Moses said, I know you don't fear the Lord yet. You're lying. And that's when that part of you knows it. And that's when you say to yourself, well, I might as well give up. There ain't no sense. See, that's Pharaoh talking, not you. You are such a liar, and he is such a liar, he's got you convinced that you and he are the same. And my job is to try to separate you, and your job is to try to cozy up and snuggle. Verse 34, I'll prove to you. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder were ceased, he sinned yet more. But he is the one that said, oh, I have sinned this time. And I'm so wicked and I'm so wrong. But when he saw that the heat was off, he sinned yet more. Not the same, not less, not at all, more. Now, when can you tell Pharaoh is in charge? When you're struggling with something and saying, oh, Lord, I'm not getting in, I'm not doing more, and I'm cutting back, and I'm struggling. Hey, the heat's off. Let's do more of it. How many people do you know whose addiction gets worse after they do this? You get off the wagon and you get worse, you gain more weight. You just get worse. As soon as the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. Now he's starting to affect the people around him. He's a liar, isn't he? Well, let's go to chapter 10 and verse 3. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go right on with this. I'm not going to get to the dividing. We're going to finish this, and then we're going to sing, and then we're leaving. I'm not going to cut this off in the middle. Now, where was I? Verse 10. Or chapter 10, verse 3. It's locust time. And the Lord gave the people favor. Nope, I'm in the wrong one. Verse 10 and chapter 3.
And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts unto thy coasts. So see, Pharaoh said, Well, this is heavy duty. These locusts eat everything. So now, what does Pharaoh do when he's backed into a corner? What does he always do? See, locusts eat everything. Well, I don't have no locusts in mine. Locusts eat everything. Pork, chocolate, candy, dead things, unclean things. Locusts eat everything. Oh, Brother Reuben, you just don't understand. I'm trying so hard, but that cookie and that candy and that cake and that cheese, you know it's poison, but I can't help it. See, locusts eat everything. Locust? Loco locust. See, you don't understand. There's locusts in your life when you eat everything. And I'm trying to teach you not to be a locust. Locust? But the locusts come. Because God said it's locust time. Now, chapter 10 and verse 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go serve the Lord and your God. But who are they that shall go? See, he's trying another compromise. He said, All right, I tried to say you do it in the land. That wouldn't work. I tried saying it, All right, don't go very far away. Now he's saying, All right, I'm going to let you go far away, but not everybody's going. Another compromise, isn't it? See, like you say, okay, my soul and my spirit, I'm in agreement. Oh, yes, Brother Reuben, I love the Lord. And yes, I will speak everything that's right. But my body does not want to quit. And I care what my body thinks. So what is happening? He says, all of you have to go. And you say, no. Pharaoh says, go ahead, soul. Go ahead, spirit. But body, you stay. You keep drinking. You keep smoking. Hallelujah, up one side and down the other. But keep feeding the body. Keep the body in the land. So Pharaoh says, go. Serve the Lord your God. Who are they that shall go? Verse 9, And Moses said, We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you, I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you. Oh, now here's a nice twist. Moses said, Our young, our old, our children, our flocks, everything goes. And he says unto them, Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. What about the old? What about the flocks? See, he's agreeing, but not agreeing. Just like you do. Verse 11, Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. See, first he says, okay, just let the men go. First he said, we're going to keep the old, take the little ones, and we'll keep the cattle. Now he says, not so. Go ye now that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So he's now trying to decide who gets to go and who doesn't. He's given up on how far they go or whether they go. He's getting closer, isn't he? But I'm going to prove to you at the end, he's going to make every compromise that there is. And when there's no choice but life or death, somebody has to die. And it's either going to be him or you. So they were driven from Pharaoh's presence. That's verse 11. Now, verse 14. The locusts come. God promised them, and here they are. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were so much locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. Lots of locusts. Lots of things that eat everything. Sounds familiar? You'd be lying if you said no. So now, Pharaoh is going to try another one of his famous tricks. In verse 8, he tried to, see, verse Exodus 10, 3 and 4. It's locust time. Now, Exodus 10 and verse 8. Well, we tried that. He tried to compromise. And he said, who's going with you? Exodus 10, 10. Or 10, no, Exodus 10, 9. Said, we're all going. And then we go to verse 11. And he said, not so, just some of you. Verse 14, the locusts come. Verse 16, that's where we pick it up now. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste. We got locusts, we're eating everything. Everything's eating us and we're eating everything. See, that's what's wrong with locusts. Locusts eat everything, but locusts get eaten by everything. Now, let me tell you why you're a locust. You eat everything. And everything you're eating is eating you. That cheese, that pork, that alcohol, it's eating you. It's eating your gut. It's eating you inside. It's rotting you away from the inside. See, God says, look, understand this. What you eat, you should eat. What you eat shouldn't eat you. But see, what you eat eats you. That makes you a locust. The locusts are everywhere. The locusts are here. Verse 16, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. He gets religious again. Verse 17, now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once. This guy can't count any better than you can. And entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. Not death, just this death only. Okay, I give up. I won't eat anymore and I won't eat stuff that eats me, but I ain't going nowhere else. And I'm going to moan and groan and complain about it. So see what happened? He got religious again. And incidentally, in this process, he admits he is a sinner, but he won't confess the sin. Does this sound familiar? Lots of sin, no sinners. Well, you see, Christ died for sinners, not for sin. See, so the problem is we got lots of sin, don't we? We just can't find a sinner in the joint. Because you won't confess what your sin is. So you just like Pharaoh, he admits he's a sinner but won't confess the sin. Lots of sin, just no sinner. Verse 20. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. So see, Pharaoh refuses again. Now things are going to start getting tough. Exodus 10, 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. In other words, between Sunday and Wednesday, you're in dark. Between Wednesday and Sunday, you're in darkness. Just like this fool. They saw not one another, and neither rose any from his place for 3 days. See, people in darkness don't like the fellowship, do they? You see them here, and then you don't see them for 3 days anymore. I'm going to read that again. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. Have you seen Sister Sunday? I haven't seen her since Sunday. I haven't seen him since Wednesday. Well, I don't. The car's out there. They're stuck. They're sitting in darkness. Moses stretched forth his hand, verse 22, toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. Not in the land of Goshen, in the land of Egypt. In the land of worry and depression and hardship and distress, darkness. And they saw not one another. I can always tell when you're in darkness. You sit there watching TV, your wife's over there doing something else, your kids don't talk to you, you don't talk. Nobody talks to anybody. Now somebody does something wrong and the wrong spirit in you talks to the wrong. Don't you do that, you stupid brat. Well, that's the spirit of criticism, judgment, and anger speaking to the spirit of rebellion. Now the mama spirit goes, oh, you're doing my baby. So now that's her wrong spirit. So what's happening? A wrong spirit talking to a wrong spirit who talked to a wrong spirit. Now the minute all the wrong spirits start, they sit there and say, I ain't talking to her. So you have nothing to say to her unless she's wrong. So then anger will speak to her and depression will speak to them. But you see, the children of God won't speak to each other, will they? So the only time you talk to each other or about one another is with the wrong spirit. What does that tell you? You're in darkness. They saw not one another. There was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And nobody rose from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. I like that arrangement. Now, verse 24. Here we go. It's compromise time again. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go. See, he's got to hang on to something. Okay, go ahead and serve the Lord, but don't you tithe. Don't you support the work. Keep the flocks. Keep your chattel under your control. Be stingy and greedy. You go serve the Lord. Go hallelujah up one side and down the other, but leave your flocks in the land. Leave all your possessions. Help one another with material things? Oh, no. No, no, don't do that. Do your responsibility with the Lord? No, no, no. Keep the flocks with you. Let your little ones also go with you. But let's keep all the material goods. Verse 25, and Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not be a hoof left behind. I like that. You get nothing from me. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. So if you leave anything behind that God gave you, you've compromised the compromise of Pharaoh, and your sacrifice becomes an abomination unto the Lord. He says, and we know with what we must serve the Lord. Until we come hither. He says, we know what we must serve the Lord with. What? Everything. That's not hard to understand. Now, Moses finally speaks back to Pharaoh and says, no, we're taking it all. We're not even leaving a hoof behind. Now, what happens? Pharaoh refuses again. Verse 27. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart that he would not let them go. Now we come to Exodus 11:1. This is the scripture that we're going to be dividing. This is the one we're going to be doing this, finishing up this evening. And since we have time, I'm going to get into it now. The plague that finally works on Pharaoh. Death. Can you afford to wait on Pharaoh to say yes? I'm proving to you, all of those things ended up with him saying no. Here's what he's going to say yes to. And he's not even going to say yes. Pharaoh will never say yes. He just gets in a position where he can't say no. Why? Because he's dead. Now, here's what he wants. Here's the whole battle plan. Put Pharaoh in a position where he can't say no. He's dead. That's your plan for Pharaoh. What's Pharaoh's plan for you? To put you in the position where you can't say yes, because you're dead. So you see, he wants to put you in a position where you can't say yes. You want to put him in a position where he can't say no. Now, that's the hard way. We could have done it a lot simpler, if you remember, because God appealed to the children first. But now, we finally come to the point where it's necessary to deal with Pharaoh through death, either yours or his. So you're going to go to rest. Now, your land of rest can be in El Cajon or in heaven, but you're going to rest. And what's going to necessitate, what it takes for rest to happen when you're dealing with Pharaoh, is you or Pharaoh has to die. See, God's sacrificial death for you saved your soul. However, you refuse to have your body and your spirit saved unless you die. Now, that's dumb. But if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. Now, back to the future, as it were. And we're going to see how this works. What leads up to the death? What leads up to this final plague? God is so merciful in this thing. Man, he's so good to us. Now I'm going to show you how simple it would be for you to get out of this thing. And I'm just going to, in fact, I'm going to read to you Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1. And then in about 10, 15 minutes, I want to have about a 15-minute prayer service or singing service. And then we're going to leave having sung our songs. And I've enjoyed this. I've learned something. I don't like unwinding. I like to go, go, go. Exodus 7:1. And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of the land. Okay, God speaks to Moses. Moses speaks to Aaron. Aaron speaks to Pharaoh. That's how we're going to get this thing accomplished. Now, the word speaks to me. I speak to you. So you see, I am representative of Moses. The word, in this case, Jesus Christ, the Bible, is representative of God the Father. So God the Father spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to Aaron. Aaron spoke to Pharaoh. So now, the word, Jesus Christ, God, speaks to me, typifying Moses. I speak to you, typifying Aaron, and you speak to your body, typifying Pharaoh. So now, the word speaks to me, I speak to you, you speak to your body. How simple. So what do we need here? We need God. We need Moses, we need Aaron, and we need your body. That doesn't sound quite right, but that's the way that it is. Now, I'm going to prove something to you very interesting. Now I'm going to bring it home. Moses in you represents your soul. His name, Moses, means rescued. Now, what did God rescue in you? Your soul. He saved your soul. Aaron is the spiritual side of you. He was the priest. What does that represent? Your spirit. Moses represents your soul. Aaron represents your spirit. And Pharaoh represents your body. So you see, we need Moses, your soul, and Aaron, your spirit, to agree in order to control your body. We needed Moses and Aaron to agree in order to control Pharaoh. Now, when Moses and Aaron agreed in Egypt, they got out, didn't they? When Aaron started messing with Miriam in the wilderness and turned against Moses, things went to the pots, didn't they? To the potty, if you will. So you see, you got to have your soul and your spirit in agreement, and your body will go along. It has to. Even if you have to mortify it. Now, Moses, speak all that I command thee. Moses means one who's drawn out of the water, one who is rescued. Well, Jesus rescued your soul. If you look up the word soul from the Hebrew, it means sense or your mind. So your mind has to speak to Aaron. Now I speak to your mind, Jesus speaks to me. The Word of God speaks to me, I speak to your mind, and then that's your soul, that's your Moses, then it has to speak to Aaron. Now Aaron means the brother of Moses. It says, speak to Aaron thy brother, and he shall speak unto Pharaoh. So you see, Moses needs a brother to speak to Pharaoh. Now, here I come along to speak to you. I typify Moses. I can't help you because you refuse to be my brother, even though you call me brother. Oh, Brother Reuben, Brother Reuben, Brother Reuben. Lies, 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 because you don't even know what brother means. Brother means one who has this, an affinity, a resemblance, and a kindred. It means resemblance in qualities. It means to be of like nature, to be similar. You call me brother? Resemblance in qualities. To be of like nature, to be similar. So what has to happen here? Why is it that your body refuses? Because you refuse to be my brother. That's why. See, I cannot help you. Moses could not, if Aaron would not have been his brother. Now, when Aaron was of similar nature, of like nature, of same qualities, and he spoke exactly what Moses said, and Moses spoke exactly what God said, man, they got out of there. But out in the wilderness, Aaron starts speaking what Miriam said and start going against Moses. Even did the golden calf and said, oh, it just jumped out. Well, see, what happens here? Your Aaron said, I don't know. What happened, brother? You got to talk to your... I don't know. I just got up this morning, and I opened the door, and here comes all these problems. They just jumped right out. I didn't do a thing. Just like Aaron made the calf. He fashioned it. He worked on it. He tooled it for days on end. And then he had it there, and everybody's dancing around it. And when Moses said, what have you done? I'll tell you, the people got on my case. So they brought me all their gold, and I was walking around with this gold, and I tripped accidentally and dropped it in the furnace. And it melted in there, and it jumped out this golden calf, and God, I don't know what happened here. Well, he wasn't of like qualities or like nature at that point. Of Moses. Where was Moses? Up on the mount getting the law of God. Where was Aaron? Down at the bottom making with the laws of the people. What do you want? I'll give you what you want. So what do the people recognize or represent? Your body. And Aaron said, what do you want, body? Well, we want a golden calf. We want to dance. We want a boogie. And we want to get drunk. But your soul was up on the mountain. Coming down with the tablets, looking good, by the way. Looking good. And when I talk to you, you always bring Moses, and you walk in with your two tablets of stone. And say, oh, yes, I love the Lord. But where's Aaron? Well, he's doing things to make the body happy. You're out buying whatever it takes so that the people can dance, so your body can boogie. But you're getting the law. Now, what happens when Moses came down, your body, your soul, come down and saw your body dancing and your spirit making it possible for your body to dance? What does the Lord do? Wham! Threw the law down and said, I'm going down there too, right? He broke the law, didn't he? He broke the law, didn't he? How did he got mad, didn't he? Now, did Moses go down and dance? No. Did Moses make the golden calf? No. What did Moses do? He got mad at the people. So when you get mad at the people, no matter how spiritual you are, you break the law. See, Moses broke the law. He said, they're no good. Who had the bigger sin? Moses, that's right. He just spent days, I don't know how long he was up there with God. No temptation. Actually in the presence of God, being taught by God. Your soul has no excuse. But the minute you see, and see, I know why you're that way, because that way, that's how you treat you. The minute you see one of the other members of the body doing something wrong, your spirit gets mad at them and helps them. You get angry at each other, and then your soul comes and pronounces judgment on both, and gets mad at them and you, and what do? You break the law. And how did you break the law? Well, by criticizing them for breaking the law. No one ever told you before that Moses broke the law. But he did it so spiritually. See, he was coming down from the mountain carrying it, but he threw it down and broke it, didn't he? Now, the children downtown, they broke some laws, didn't they? Thou shalt not commit, thou shalt have no other gods before me. They broke that law, didn't they? Thou shalt have no false god. They broke that law, didn't they? Moses or Aaron broke a law too. But what did Moses do? Broke how many? All 10. So what happens when you get angry at your body, at your spirit, or at somebody else in the body and their spirit? You break them all. See, so you, in your infinite wisdom, judging others for breaking one, how do you render that judgment? Oh, Lord, I'm against that one law they broke. And how am I going to? I'm going to break them all. And the Lord says, oh, well, thank you. That is so, well, I appreciate that. Well, that's very kind. What a righteous, holy individual. Now, well, I could use a lot more like you. They're despicable. Look, they broke a law. A law. And here you come saying they broke a law. And what do? Got mad at the people and broke them all. So you see, if you get angry at your body and your spirit for what you did, you break all the laws. If you get mad at your brothers and sisters' body and spirit for what they did, you break all the laws. Now, how do you think God would react? The same way you would. If you had two criminals, one that broke one law and another one that broke them all, who do you think would serve the hardest time? The one that broke them all. So you see, you need to understand what a responsibility you have to be calm in the mind, not to get angry, judgmental, and critical. That's the worst sin of all. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That's the worst sin of all, for you to act like the devil. Now, Moses was a sinner. And he accused the brethren of what he's guilty of. Satan is a fallen angel. He's a sinner. He's sin. And what does he do? Accuse us? The father of sin, the father of lies, the father of murders accuses me of not tithing or not or cussing or whatever, and this dude invented it. So now we're both sinners, Satan and I, and Satan and you, but God came to die for me and you, and not for Satan. So what does he exclude? Those that accuse, those sinners that accuse other sinners, ain't no salvation, ain't no help for them, is there? Now Satan's in that boat permanently. You're in that boat temporarily. God says, why are you living where Satan lives? The only way he can get you out of that is for you to die. You kill yourself and go to heaven. But understand this, that was for Satan. There is no salvation for the accuser of the brethren. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how much you love the Lord. Now, in order to prove that to you, one day you're going to be dead and in heaven, and you're going to look around for somebody to blame for something. But see, up there, they're all angels. There's no sin. There's no sickness. And you're going to go crazy trying to find something wrong with somebody. And then finally you're going to say, well, wow, there's nothing wrong here. Yeah. then you will finally get it square in your mind, but you had to die to do it, stupid. And what I'm trying to tell you is, do not be an accuser. Now, you say, well, I don't know them. But then you turn on yourself and say, I'm no good, I'm this, I'm mad at myself. Same thing. If you get angry at the sinner, you're going to break all the law. And that's what this poor man did. That's what you do. So see, Moses is the mind. Aaron is the brother. He's the one that has to resemble Moses in qualities, in nature. They have to be similar. So you see, Aaron and Moses have to be the same. Moses and God had to be the same in order for this whole thing to work. Now, in my case, Jesus and Moses, who wrote Exodus, have to be similar. Now, I have to be similar with Moses. And you have to be similar with me. Then your body goes along, has no choice. But you see, if anybody breaks the chain, body wins. Now, I'm telling you, God won't. Moses can't. He can't rewrite this. So the only people that can break this chain letter is me, you, or your body. Now, your body, given an opportunity, will break it. So that only leaves me and you. Now, if I'm breaking it, bear witness of my evil, and I'll change. If you're breaking it, I've been bearing witness of your evil for almost 2 hours. Change! So now we have Moses, the mind, Pharaoh, the spirit, speaking, commanding Pharaoh. Pharaoh means trouble, ailment, disease, illness, worry, pain, sorrow, and misery. Where do all those things live? In the body. So now, what has God said? Here is the setup. I have made your soul, your mind, a god over your body. Here's the hooker. Your spirit will not, refuses to be your brother. Your soul is all right. It's saved. It's ready. It's your spirit. It's what you say. It's how you talk. That's the problem. You're too busy criticizing and judging. If I could just show you that your soul, your Moses and your Aaron working together are a god to Pharaoh, are a god to your chocolate, they're a god to your alcohol, they're a god to the pork and your anger and your depression, they're a god to all of that. But the problem is, your Aaron is no brother. Now, how do I know your Aaron is no brother? Because you refuse to be my brother. You call me brother, but you refuse. Now, you cannot tell me you're enjoying the same things in every area that I am. Because if you would, and let me tell you something, that doesn't mean you're not my brother in any area. Now, you assess your life. In those areas that you are my brother or my sister, you enjoy the same things I enjoy. In those areas that you refuse to be my brother or my sister, you do not. Now, do you understand how important it is to have a pastor and a preacher and a counselor who refuses to be your brother but says, you be mine? It's just too many churches you go and they'll go along with you. And they'll go in the tank right along with you. And the tidy bowl becomes untidy. So now what do we have set up? You need to understand, because tonight the rest of this message is going to tell you how these three people work together. Moses, Aaron, and Pharaoh. Your soul, your spirit, and your body. Now, nowhere in all of this do we ask the body's permission. Nowhere in all of this will you find that Pharaoh's going to say, oh boy, that was fun, but I'm sure glad it's over. See you guys, it was nice to see you. We had a lot of fun. We must do lunch sometime. Let's still be friends. You know, we got to win some and you got to lose some, and I gave it my best shot. Can we still be friends? Hey, we'll meet again. No, life and death. Somebody's got to die. That's why, see, when the Lord said, you must mortify the flesh. You never understood what it meant, did you? Well, you do now. I'm going to teach you tonight, God willing, how this is going to work in your behalf and how you can use this working for you. Now, if you don't do it, tonight I'm going to deal with just one thing. Midnight and death. Because see, now you know that it's your soul, your spirit, will control your body. And if you still refuse to do it, then tonight I'm going to tell you it's about midnight and it's time for the death angel. And God said, I'll do it for you then. Because I'm going to kill Pharaoh's firstborn and ultimately Pharaoh. See, God has put everything at your disposal, because remember the verse I just read you is chapter 7, verse 1. Midnight and death come chapter 11, verse 1. So what do we have? 7-11. Now, where did I learn to shoot this way? That's 7-11, of course. I like that. I've enjoyed this one. I've enjoyed them all, but this one I particularly like. Now, I have been up here for close to an hour and 40 minutes. Didn't have to take a drink once. Didn't have to go to the potty once. Didn't have to get up and and I'm standing and you're sitting. So don't give me any of your puny excuses. Understand that when you're dealing with God, He will make it possible for you to do whatever needs to be done. Come back tonight at 7 to learn about midnight and death. I hope you don't take that route, but if you do, I'm ready for you. I'm going to show you how you're going. We're going to pack your hearse tonight. If that's the way you're going out, bye. I will wave at your taillights in the distance. And I will speak over you here. I ain't not even going to the place where it's a shame and abomination for a child of God to be killed by Pharaoh. It's a shame. You got to be ashamed of yourself. I'd be the other way around. Let's kill him. Brother Rick, would you close the services in prayer? And then we're going to sing.